Traditionally, the Illinois corn growers hold their annual meeting right before Thanksgiving. That was the case again this year, about 2.5 weeks ago. Featured speaker at this year's event was Senior Manager, Federal Government Industry Relations for Syngenta, Mary Kay Thatcher. I had the opportunity to sit down and visit a while and ask her her thoughts on how agriculture will fare with the new administration. She touched on a lot of areas that really don't pertain to agriculture for 2025, in my opinion, after hearing her speak. But let's kind of deal primarily now with agriculture, Mary Kay. First of all, your assessment of the new appointee as USDA Ag Secretary.
Well, I don't know Brooke Rollins, so only what I read about her, but certainly she's from a farm. She was a state FFA officer. She has an agricultural degree, and she's close to President Trump. Those are all really good things for ag.
I guess time will tell how she does.
Absolutely. I mean, I think she's a very bright person. That's not to say we're not going to have to spend a lot of time with her, because she may not have dealt into some of the ag policy issues that we're also steeped in. So there'll be a learning curve. I'm hopeful she'll be willing to sit down and listen to that and be an active player, but I have no reason to believe that's not the case.
Well, I've noticed in news releases that I've received that many of the agricultural organizations are doing what I call the political correctness and welcoming her and wanting to work with her. But I just wondered your opinion on really how you think she'll do representing agriculture.
Well, I think she will do well, and certainly, yes, every ag organization, you have to say you're excited about it because, you know, we want her in our court, and certainly, you know, I think especially now, we want to make sure that she might provide some kind of check and balance on RFK Jr. and, you know, his negative opinions about GMOs and pesticides and soybean oil and those kinds of things. Most things that he really doesn't have, I think, much jurisdiction over from HHS, but he certainly has personal opinions about that, so we're going to have to make sure that in agriculture we hopefully keep him in his lane.
Speaking of him, and we won't go off on that tangent, but do you think he will have any trouble being confirmed?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I suspect this Republican-controlled Senate will go along with virtually every appointment. I mean, there might be one or two that the Republicans can say, hey, we just can't get through. But I think that's yet to be seen. I would be, if you were a betting person, I would bet more like Tulsi Gabbard would have problems.
President-elect Trump has said that he will install tariffs or put on tariffs on a lot of different countries. You mentioned in your presentation to the group that some of these are some of the best folks that we work with, some of our partners, trade partners. So your thoughts on the tariff situation?
Well, you know, just today, President Trump said he's going to put a 25% tariff on Mexico and Canada until they stop drugs coming across and immigrants coming across, and put a 10% extra tariff on China. Well, China and Mexico and Canada have been, in one order or another, our best customer, the three of them, for probably two decades. So certainly I would be surprised. The Mexican president already said after she had that announcement that they would intend to retaliate. They're not just going to take it. So I think yet to be seen about what kind of retaliation. Unfortunately, I think agriculture always takes more than its fair share of retaliation. And so, you know, we're going to have to see what we can do to try to keep that in line.
A final question concerning the Environmental Protection Agency.
Well, EPA is something we really have to keep our eyes on. But I think with this administration, I think we've made some good progress recently. The biggest issue in my mind is, well, two of them really, Waters of the U.S. and then certainly the Endangered Species Act and the implication on pesticides and having farmers have to mitigate those practices. And I would tell you that I think we've made some good progress with this administration in helping them understand the problems that it caused for farmers and the expenses. And so they've moved our way, but there's still more work to be done. And I would anticipate that we can continue to have good discussions and certainly be at the table.
I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you your thoughts on when we might get a farm bill done. You mentioned to the group that probably not soon.
I think we wouldn't even really get started on being real public about it till June or July. And I say that because we're not going to get it in 2024. But, you know, you're going to come in 2025. You're at least going to have a new ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee. So she's going to have to staff up. You're going to have a lot of probably redrafts of what's been done. You're going to have the congressional budget come in and rescore. How much does this cost? How much does that cost? So then the committees are going to have to go over and reevaluate that. As well as, I think the priority is going to be reconciliation bill and taxes and probably immigration, and then the funding mechanisms, the fiscal year 25 funding mechanism. So I don't think you can get serious probably about moving a farm bill and thinking there's going to be any floor time until probably June, July.
Mary Kay Thatcher has been our guest. Mary Kay, is always good to see you. You were a very busy person at our Farm Broadcasters annual meeting a few days ago in Kansas City. Then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, featured speaker here at the Illinois Corn Growers. You've been on a fast track.
I have been, but, you know, coming to the Farm Broadcaster meeting is just always fun. Fun to see friends like you and fun to see teammates, because certainly in agriculture, we couldn't do it without the Farm Broadcasters.
Her role when she was with the American Farm Bureau Federation for several years, and now also with Syngenta, is to know what's going on in our nation's capital, especially where agriculture is concerned, and she's very highly respected. I was surprised to see an exhibit by ARP at our Farm Broadcasters annual meeting, and thought I'd stop by and kind of see why they were here. Well, they were talking about several issues, including frauds and scams that take place in the rural community, and really overall, but what we're talking about here primarily is the rural community. I asked Amy Knopfziger about it. There's a lot of scams that the older people get it. She said, well, they've got more money. This time of year especially, it seems to me like, Amy.
Yeah, so, I mean, the criminals will go after everybody. Let's be clear. They'll steal your $5, your $50, or your $5 million, but they're certainly going to target older adults more because they hold the majority of wealth in the United States. They've worked hard their whole lives to accumulate a comfortable retirement or land and property. You know, what we're seeing right now with these scams, especially this time of the holiday season, is we're seeing imposter scams. So you might get a text message saying that, you know, USPS is trying to deliver a package to you. And you think, oh, I just sent my grandkids across country a package. Maybe this is it. So you click on that link. This is not how USP works. This is nothing but a common scam that tries to steal your personal and financial information. Additionally, what we're seeing, and this again is coming in via text message, wrong number text messages. This will say something like, hey, what time's our golf game tomorrow? Or are you coming for dinner? We've all gotten these. That is nothing but a start of a cryptocurrency investment scam. If you get a text like that, do not respond and say, sorry, wrong number. If it is somebody that is trying to reach out to you, they'll find a way. But that's how good these criminals are to come into our lives and to try to steal our money.
Well, I've been a member of ARP now for several years, and my wife was when she was alive. And I know that I receive regular mailings from you folks. There's a lot of different issues, but it just seems like the scams never quit. Somebody's always after your money.
You're exactly right. I have actually been in this position at AARP working in fraud for 23 years, and I'm having some of the same conversations with folks about scams. The difference is, I will say, is this device that we carry in our pockets 24/7. We call it a phone, but let's try to think about the last time we actually talked to somebody on it, right? And so by having this device with us 24/7, that means the criminals have access to us 24/7. So remember that. Remember, wherever you are online, wherever you are on the internet, or you are on your device, there might be a criminal waiting to steal your money. So just remember, if anyone is asking you for personal information like your Medicare number, Social Security number, driver's license, or money, and right now they're asking for money in the form of a prepaid gift card, those are those colorful cards that we see at the grocery store, or they're asking or directing you to go to a crypto ATM machine. There are 45,000 crypto ATM machines in our country right now, so I'm sure there's one at a gas station near you. If you hear any of those things, stop, get out of that situation, call a friend, a trusted family advisor, call us on the Fraud Watch Network helpline, but get advice on how to handle that situation.
After my conversation with Amy, I now know more about ARP, and maybe you do as well from listening to the interview. Well, that'll do it for the early bird this morning. As always, I'm glad you joined us. Hope you will again next Saturday. And in the meantime, as I always say, have a good weekend. I'm Mike Perrine.